Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
To declare your independence on the Free Talk Live Network.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here!
Arizona. Oh, we're back. But now we're going to Mexico. We're talking to Jeff Berwick, and Danny Sessom is going to try and, you know, come on. He's on a little bit, but he's got really bad connection, you know, there in Acapulco. Now, what's going on is Hurricane Otis recovery. We're going to be promoting that. We'll tell you all about it, what happened. Hurricane Otis, O-T-I-S, recovery.com. Now, you'll see some GoFundMe opportunities there, and Jeff Berwick and the crowd at Acapulco has a lot of relationships with the people down there and know the real people, the people on the beach people, the people that live there people, the people whose houses and structures got wiped away and businesses and so on, and they know who to give what to and not like to give them. You know, it's going to get directly to what needs to be done. Now, Danny Sessom is down there, and he's in the middle and the thick of it and help coordinate enough because Danny does this when there's hurricanes. Here in the U.S., Mexico, earthquakes, right? This is what he does. Now, there's an orphanage down there called the Marsh Orphanage. Now, we have visited there several times. Danny's really tight with the kids there and so on, and we'll find out what happened to them and what they need and how's it going. But tell us the story, Jeff, will you please?
Yeah, thank you, Ernie, for having me on. I guess I should start right from the very beginning because still, as of this day, most people don't even know this happened. I think with everything going on in Gaza and Palestine, that most people are focused on that, and rightfully so. That is the most heinous thing I've ever seen in my lifetime. But because of that, and because the media almost did no coverage whatsoever of it, hardly anyone even knows that there was one of the most dramatic, massive weather weapon attacks done on Acapulco on Tuesday evening of last week. So to start with, it was like Tuesday around 6 o'clock p.m. I just kind of got wind somehow. It just popped up on my screen that there might be a hurricane headed towards Acapulco. And I was a little surprised because I keep my eye on those things and I hadn't seen anything earlier before that.
Well, who sent something to you? How'd you know?
It was just on like Twitter or something. I saw someone say there's a hurricane headed towards Acapulco.
Really?
And because I have had a house there, I still do, but it's a pretty banged up right now, and a boat, which I don't have anymore, that I keep my eye on it, and I know a lot of people in Acapulco, so I just generally watch the hurricane season, and there was nothing before that, and I was a little surprised. I was like, that's weird. I didn't even know there was a tropical storm or anything, and so I started looking into it, and this is around Tuesday at 6 in the evening. And all of a sudden it starts ramping up and it looks like it's headed towards like a category 4 within a couple of hours. And so I go on to all these sort of meteorological type things, storm trackers and stuff like that. All these guys who really track this stuff. And all I see is everyone freaking out saying, how did we miss a cat 5? Like we didn't even, it wasn't there. We didn't have anything in our models. and all of a sudden it's there right now. And everyone's freaking out. And even since then, a number of people at MIT and the University of Miami have come out, and these are the people who track hurricanes, and that's all they do, have said that this, for some reason, their models didn't even pick it up. And one of them said it was like there was some sort of a secret, a mystery ingredient, he called it, in the hurricane. So I'll get into that in a bit. But so I see it's ramping up to, like, it looks like it's almost at a Category 4 at about 8 or 9 p.m. Tuesday. So, and no one's talking about it. As far as I could tell, I was pretty much one of the only people in the world who knew about it. Only a couple of these storm trackers started to pick it up, but there was nothing being written. There was nothing on Twitter, nothing. No one knew anything. Nothing on the news, of course, anything like that. And so I start going to all of our groups, and we have a number of groups in Acapulco, for North Acapulco. We have for my wife's family, all these groups. I go in and I say that, guys, there's a Cat 4 right now. It looks like it's going to be a Cat 5, and it looks like it's going to hit Acapulco by the morning on Wednesday. And almost every single person brushed it off. Almost everyone that was in Acapulco said, Jeff, it's fine here right now. It's a little gray. There's no wind. No one said there's a hurricane coming. Jeff, you're always, saying all these extreme things. I was saying, I actually wrote in our newsletter this week that I feel like the boy who cried wolf, except for I'm the boy who 100% knows a wolf is coming and no one ever listens to me. And actually only one person listened to me, and it was actually his wife. So I told him, because he's my neighbor in Acapulco. He's actually my financial guy, my CFO for my company. And I said, there's like a Cat 4. It looks like it could be a Cat 5 hit by morning in Acapulco. And his first reaction was, well, it's fine right now. And then he said, I like hurricanes. And I said to him, a hurricane's Category 1 is kind of fun. It's, a big show. With your house, and I knew their house was not like the kind that will withstand a Category 5 hurricane, it will be wiped out. And they have two small children. Luckily, his wife overheard it. I started talking to her, and I convinced her that for their safety, they had to leave immediately. And then they started saying, well, we don't have a car. So I actually had people from my house drive over to their house and give them my car, and they got out. So they're the only people of all the people that I or my wife told, and we told everyone we knew, that there was a massive hurricane coming. And just like with most things I did, no one listened. And so then it's like getting close to midnight, and I thought the storm was going to hit by morning. So I thought, well, I've told everyone I can. Everyone's asleep now. No one is even responding. Almost every single person in Acapulco, just so you know, went to sleep that night not knowing there was even a tropical storm, much less a hurricane. And the tracker guys who were tracking in real time that evening said, it looks like it's going to hit around 5 or 6 in the morning. So I ended up going to sleep. I'm like, well, there's no point in me staying up all night and just sitting here and waiting. I might as well go to sleep. I've told everyone. And I'll get up in the morning, and we'll hope it doesn't hit Acapulco, because we weren't sure exactly where it was going to hit at that time. And so I wake up at around 6 or 5 in the morning, and there's no one online in Acapulco whatsoever. And we then find out that the storm actually hit just after midnight. So it popped up out of nowhere, turned into a Category 5, headed straight for Acapulco, and demolished Acapulco and disappeared completely. And there was no rain in the hurricane. So this is not a normal natural hurricane. It was more like a giant tornado. It was definitely, from everything, I haven't even gotten into all the details, but once you hear all the details, it is definitely 100% a weather weapon. And it's for reasons that the Mexican government had not been going along with the New World Order agenda. They had not been going on with along with GMOs and with chemtrails and with the COVID. They didn't do any laws for COVID. When they did the Russia-Ukraine thing, they didn't sanction Russia like they wanted them to. And so all of these things, they've been attacking Mexico. And it actually started earlier this year. It started in February when three separate Mexico Pemex oil facilities all blew up all at the same time. So that was the first warning to Mexico. And Then, before this all happened, there was a hurricane category 4 that not many people know about. They haven't been publicizing them. That hit directly. There's only three major, well, there's a couple more, but there's the three major cities on the west coast of Mexico are Cabo, Puerto Vallarta, and Acapulco. So, and these storms are labeled alphabetically. So, the first one was Hurricane Lidia with an L, hit Puerto Vallarta dead on. And the chances of these things hitting all these cities dead on is like one in a trillion. Because they could hit 100 miles either side, and the damage would be 95% less than it was. But they all hit dead on these cities. So Hurricane Lidia was a Category 4 and hit dead on in Puerto Vallarta. Then the next one was Hurricane Max Egan, possibly. Who knows how far ahead they planned these things. That hit Acapulco, but it was a smaller one. But Max actually couldn't do videos all that week about Palestine. He's one of the biggest Palestine guys. Then the next one was Nadia, I believe it was called. It hit directly on Cabo. It was a Category 4, but it actually went down to about a Category 1 just as it was hitting. So that one wasn't quite as damaging, but it still hit directly on Cabo. And then this one is called Hurricane Otis, and it hit directly on Acapulco. And not just directly, by the way. Max Egan, who somehow wasn't there at the time, and neither was I, we get sort of intuition about these things, and I can even get into that if you want, but he did the tracking of it a few days later once we had all the data. The first point of landfall was at Max Egan's house in Bonfield, and right behind Max's house is the secret garden where an Acapulco is held, where you just emceed last year. That was the direct point of contact of a Category 5 that is unlike any storm we've ever seen in history. No rain whatsoever, came out of nowhere. Some of the gusts, some people said, I haven't been able to verify this, as high as 300 miles per hour. I've seen some videos that of webcams that before they cut out that are things I've never seen with a hurricane before. I actually don't know how anyone survived it at all. Somehow there's not that many deaths. We still don't know. We're still getting information. But we haven't personally. We've been there all week working. Danny's been incredible working there all week. We've been raising funds and helping out.
It's definitely a Danny thing, man. He's all over this kind of crap.
I have to say, I don't know how he does it. He was there. This happened on Tuesday night. He was there before Wednesday night from Texas. He was on the ground, and all week I'm hearing people go, did you hear about these people in this part of Acapulco? And they're like, yeah, Danny was just there. He was just helping them out. And this has happened all over Acapulco all week. He's getting some sort of a medal from me or from someone after this.
Absolutely.
He has been unbelievable, and he's still ongoing. He's trying to come in on this show, but there's not much signal in Acapulco. So, the biggest problem at first was, so I wake up Wednesday morning, and there's no one online in Acapulco. And so we send our people down. Danny was already on his way down because that's what Danny does. And my people arrive on Wednesday evening in Acapulco, but there's no signal, no power, and all the roads were all cut off from trees falling and all that kind of stuff. So it took them a while to get in, and then they had to get out by Thursday morning to get outside of Acapulco to get an internet signal to tell me what was going on. So that was the first time I actually heard anything about what had happened was Thursday morning, so more than 24 hours later. And when we heard the news on Thursday morning, we heard it's completely devastated. It's beyond belief how bad it is. I'm lucky that we have an incredible team at both in Acapulco and the Dollar Vigilante with all kinds of people who are incredibly capable. Within 2 hours, we had a website up at HurricaneOtisRecovery.com. We had a GoFundMe set up. We had all the crypto addresses set up. I did an emergency video within an hour or so of that. We raised about, well, to date, it's over $350,000, and I want to thank everyone who's donated. It's been so valuable. It's helped out so many people already.
You know, Jeff, right now we're showing Danny. We have a video up on the archive of Danny with the, you know, the Anarchapoco Anarchist A logo on the white van as they're dishing out, you know, the stuff to people. Now, you know, when we started promoting this, and the money started coming, you did a nice video. You know, Jeff, you're kind of hero on this too. I mean, we're gonna, you know, you get a little plaque, you know. But the, but when you were warning people, we just got a comment on the DLive stream from Kat. She said that she, once you made sure everybody knew, and she knew, she was telling everybody too.
When I say that I told everyone, I mean, like, I told people like Kat, and I said, tell everyone, and she did. And as far as I know, no one listened to us.
I know. Well, you know, it's not like you got a bad track record on this stuff, you know. So while we're at it, let everybody know, you know, there's a big, giant, worldwide financial hurricane coming, FYI, okay? So I'm like in a race. I got to get out in the desert on. We're out here now building, doing, getting ready for, here it comes. So whatever you're seeing going on here is going to be a worldwide economic thing, just saying. It'll just, as an aside, right now we have this opportunity. On a 1 to 10, what are you thinking about that comment? I mean, you know, where do you think we're at?
On financial?
Yeah, no, I mean a worldwide hurricane of comment. I mean, now's your chance to warn them.
We're in it right now. People don't even realize it again. but I'm not even that concerned about that, because what it looks like is we're headed towards World War III at the moment, and this is going to be – what's happening in Acapulco, what's happening in Gaza is going to happen similarly all across the world very soon in many ways. And then there's the financial side of it. That's all going to collapse as well. This is stuff we've been talking about for the last few years, and now it's all happening.
Well, this is – I'm glad we got to be able to make that link, because this is part of – if you have – there's a weather weapon, or there was an intent, or there was, you know, they, them, those, because they can. You know, Ernie, do you think they would do this? They would do that? I don't know. Can they? Well, if they can, they freaking are, because they sure as hell want to, and this is a perfect example of that. Because in Acapulco, you already have – Mexico, kind of, I remember going down there. We drove to San Diego, go across the Sky Bridge to Tijuana Airport for us to walk across, so that we didn't have to go through a bunch of testing and shots and all this other crap. You know, we're doing that. Oh, Danny's trying to come in, so we'll give him a shot. But the as we did this, Mexico, they're like, yeah, because we have to, and they're making us. You can fill this out. We don't really care, and we throw it away. I mean, they actually said that. As you're reading it, they're just like, we're complying as little as we can because we don't care. And I'm going, you know, that's a cool attitude to have. But the people were kind of masked up, except those associated with the Acapulco. They were a lot, you know, different mindset. So the thing is that I can see that the world wanting compliance from all these different countries, Mexico is not as enthusiastically jumping on board. When you have a Acapulco and the event that you're doing, and it's building there and helping the people on the ground and relationships with the people like what Danny does, then what happens? All of a sudden, you know, we got to make an example. We got to get these guys on the right track. We got to. So whenever they do that, and then we take care of our own, we donate, we help, we send, we do, and Danny on the front lines, you know, that is just another example of we don't need you while they're not doing anything anyway. Danny, can you hear us?
Yeah, we can hear you now. I'm on Jason's phone.
All right, cool. All right, oh, you got Jason down there with you. All right, that's cool. Jeff, go ahead and finish up what you want to say, and we'll, or you can ask right now. You know, go ahead and ask Danny questions that you want to know, and people that you know what's up, and we'll just hear from the response from that. Go ahead, Jeff.
Well, we've been in contact with Danny all week. Of course, I don't really need to ask him anything, but I'll just sort of finish up by saying that so when we got in there, we were the only people for the first four full days, and maybe Danny can correct me if I'm slightly wrong, but as far as I know, the only real people doing any concerted, real effort to bring in supplies, because every single thing was wiped out, and Danny can fill us in on that, but people have no food, no water, many people have no houses, and there was no outside help that I know of for the first at least 4 days, and now it appears to be Red Cross coming in. As far as I know, the government still really hasn't done much. So we've been mostly the only people doing most of the things to help out Acapulco so far, and it's still a very, very dire situation. So let's hear from Danny what's going on.
Yeah, Yeah. So when we arrived, I guess the day after we pulled in from the north, coming down from Tihuatanejo, we came through Pie de la Cuesta, which is kind of an outskirt of Acapulco, and it was just destroyed. I mean, the flooding was real bad over there. There's holes in the road. People were standing in line for food that was just basically from one of the, what is it, Aurora Bodega, one of the grocery stores, was just giving out the rest of what was not damaged from their store. And it was utter chaos. It took us almost a full day just to cross Acapulco to get to the Bonetil side. We broke down in one of the worst areas of Acapulco, and we had to take our motorcycles out of the van to continue on over to Bonetil. And we fully expected that the van was just going to be destroyed and all, you know, the solar ripped out and just robbed. But they didn't touch a thing. They didn't mess with us at all. People kept an eye on the van for us. It, you know, when we were coming, Jason stated to me something about, oh man, it's going to be chaos. They're looting and they're doing this and they're doing that. Yeah, well, they're doing that to like Walmart and Mega and all these bigger corporate stores. But in every time I've responded to it, whether it's earthquakes, hurricanes, whatever, you see the best in people. I mean, people really stick together. And that's why I like doing this, you know, since the very first time I did it. And during Hurricane Harvey, I was like, man, this is just awesome. But just to see what local people do for each other, you know. I mean, you remember, Ernie, when we did that interview and I was in the HEB parking lot and the military was guarding the ice and it was just churches and local go-blows out there setting up food lines and feeding everybody while the military had, you know, 8 armed guards for a truck of ice. Like, they're giving away. What? Like, what are you even guarding it for? You're giving it away. It's senseless stuff.
All right, Danny, let me ask you, you know, being down there and doing this, the Mexican government, they're probably, I would imagine, not in a big giant hurry, and they're going to get inspired by you doing it and kind of, wait, me too. Are they getting in your way as much as the U.S. did?
No, in the U.S., it was, you know, all of the local police were very helpful, and they would point me in the direction of where I needed the help. Like, when you sent me to Ron Paul's, I ran into some local cops there at, I think it was called Columbia, something like that. Anyway, one of the local towns near there, the local cops actually pointed me in the right direction to help people. But the state police and the government would get in our way.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs Generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs Generator and Lung Delivery System at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
USA News Update. Former President Trump's testimony in his New York civil fraud trial has concluded. He had this to say after today's proceedings.
It's a case that should have never been brought, and it's a case that should be immediately dismissed.
Trump engaged in repeated disputes with the presiding judge as prosecutors questioned him about his financial records. At one point, the judge admonished Trump's lawyers to control their client. Senate Republicans led by Lindsey Graham, Tom Cotton, and James Lankford are pushing for immigration reforms as part of any foreign aid package for Ukraine. Their proposal includes border wall construction, increased pay for Border Patrol agents, and changes to asylum laws. House Republicans are making a renewed attempt to censure Michigan Representative Rashida Tlaib for her criticisms of Israel. Georgia Representatives Marjorie Taylor Greene and Rich McCormick have both introduced new resolutions today to formally reprimand Tlaib. John Schaefer, USA News.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally, and it's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
Your independence on the Free Talk Live Network is brought to you by Dash Digital Cash. Dash is a cryptocurrency designed to be used for spending. Let's talk about your positive experiences using Dash. Dash has transaction fees that are less than 1 cent. Dash transactions are instant, irreversible, and are protected from 51% attacks by its chain locks technology. Dash is the world's first decentralized autonomous organization. BitRefill allows for discounted purchases at national retailers. We want to thank Dash DAO for sending us 32 Dash per month to promote Dash on the air. Visit Dash.org to learn about Dash. Dash.org is one of the oldest cryptocurrencies and is widely available on exchanges and in multi-crypto wallets. It's easy to get and use. Dash. Start by learning more at Dash.org.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, on the Free Talk Live Network on Genesis. We're continuing the conversation with Jeff Berwick and Danny Sessom from Anarcapoco, an event in Acapulco, Mexico, that's going into its 10th year. And the theme this year is the Phoenix Reborn, and so apropos because Hurricane Otis went in and destroyed Acapulco. And they are on the front lines making sure the people that need the help, that could use the help, that will help friends, neighbors, allies down there, get straight to them. And the people that have enjoyed Acapulco with an Acapulco event are ponying up. And it's already reached over $300,000. They're getting directly to the people, and they're telling us everything about HurricaneOtisRecovery.com. Are they getting in your way as much as the U.S. did?
No. In the U.S., it was, all of the local police were very helpful, and they would point me in the direction of where I needed the help. Like when you sent me to Ron Paul's, I ran into some local cops there at, I think it was called Columbia, something like that. Anyway, one of the local towns near there, the local cops actually pointed me in the right direction to help people. But the state police and the government would get in our way. You know, we had rescue boats that were pulling people out of the water. They would wait for us to pull the people out of the water, then they would take photo ops and then kick us out. So we'd have to go find a new freight to put our boat in the water. It was pretty insane.
This is a common thing. Do you know why they do that? What is their motivation for being in your way like that?
They want to be responsible. They want to be able to say that they did the thing so that they can get the funding. You know, it's like the reason why Red Cross is so much bullshit in the U.S. is because they want to give away everything. So they literally will throw things away rather than give it away so that they can justify their funding for the next time it happens. And, I've seen evidence of this happening where they were just throwing away donations in Houston so that they could justify getting more. Or Maria, because they were going from Hurricane Harvey to Maria over in Florida. So they were packing up and leaving. They just threw it all away. Rather than carry it with them and have something to give away at the next spot, they would throw it away to justify their donation. It was insane.
Wow.
Yeah. Now here it's different. Like we just passed military trucks with a bunch of water. They're passing out. The military has not been our way at all here. I haven't seen a lot from the Red Cross over the last couple of days. I see their station, but the very first days that I was here, they were handing out packages that were branded from Walmart. So I guess Walmart maybe gave that to them. And they were handing it out. The military's been pretty helpful. The linemen, that's universal. No matter where you go, the linemen are like, those are the real heroes. Those guys they're great everywhere you go. I mean, what I've seen in Houston was linemen from all over the U.S. had just showed up. And they had heard about me, and they were calling me, asking me, where to go? Where do I go? And I was like, oh, so I was literally directing some of the linemen to go to these different places.
Well, the federal government seemed to be the one that was FEMA. Just they're there for photo ops and doing it and pointing M16s at people.
Yeah.
But in Mexico, the contrast between, say, Houston area or something, and what you were talking about is when Harvey hit, Ron Paul's home took a direct hit. But they had it pretty much taken care of. We called and you went down there and checked out whatever. But then you saw other people in need and they kind of directed, yeah, we're good. Go over here. And it was awesome. The crypto space, because it was really easy for us to donate crypto. Then you could convert it and you were able to help. Now in Mexico and Narcoco, when Jeff did that call to action, Jeff, how much have you raised? I mean, it's hundreds of thousands. I mean, it's enough. What did you get?
We're over 350,000 right now. 250,000 of it came through GoFundMe, but they haven't released the funds and we haven't received them yet. Just so that everyone knows. It appears it's en route right now. We put a lot of pressure on them. But we're almost at a week in, and we still have not received any of the funds. We're hoping any day now. But we've actually, surprise, surprise, survived mostly all on crypto. We've received over $100,000 in crypto. The biggest donations came in through Monero. So there you go. And that's actually how we've been getting all of this stuff going, and all of our distribution centers set up and all the supplies coming in is all through crypto.
Okay, no, wait. Let's talk about this GoFundMe thing. So GoFundMe is doing, they're going, donate here and your disaster relief if they get it right now and you got to, and we'll take care of it. And not so much. So this is, what is the delay? Is this normal? Are they just kind of holding it, waiting for a permission slip to give you the money donated to you? What's going on?
It's a lot of the typical red tape stuff. The first thing that was a problem was getting IRS forms filled out. We got that filled out pretty quickly. We actually listed some of the crypto addresses on the GoFundMe, and they got mad at us because, of course, they don't make any money if we do that. So we took it off immediately. Then it seemed like it was another few days. And then they finally said, okay, we're going to start releasing funds. But then nothing happened for a day or two. Or, you know, I might have some of the time frames slightly off. This has all been basically a hurricane of activity here.
Yeah.
And then they said they released it to the bank, but that was on Friday. And of course, banks are closed on the weekend, the old archaic banking system. So nothing's happening until Mondays. Then on Monday, we heard that they're going to release it and it's going to be in our bank account on November 6th, which is a week from yesterday.
Oh my God.
But then we received another notification that it should arrive within 2 to 5 business days, which is, if this is supposed to be an emergency sort of, not all of it is, but a lot of people use it for emergencies.
Absolutely.
This is a ridiculous, ridiculous system. They've got the funds. They can easily transfer it in 1 second if it's a business day within business hours, because that's how bank works. But they are incredibly bad. I don't want to say too much bad about them yet until we get our funds.
I do.
They're
already
hearing a lot more about it from me.
So Gibson Go or some of these others, are they better? Have you tried them? Why did you do
GoFundMe? Yes, they are, but and a lot of people said, why don't you do GiveSendGo? We did GiveSendGo. So far, we've received $5,000 on GiveSendGo. We've received so much on GoFundMe because so many people have already donated there. They already have accounts. It's just a one-click sort of a thing. So the majority of the funds have actually come in through GoFundMe, unfortunately. And unfortunately, their systems are in such a way. And we also saw during the Canadian trucker convoy, they not only froze all the funds, but they stole all the funds because they didn't like the protests against the vaccines. So again, I don't want to say too much bad until we get our money, and then you'll hear me saying a lot.
I'll say it right now. Bring it. Bring it. This would be, we would get hundreds of thousands of dollars of publicity. They're messing with the wrong people. They do this. It's like, oh, and the solution is Monero or Bitcoin Cash, whatever the heck, because this is exactly why. This is exact neon flashing, just document all this stuff. You know, I could be a butthead. This is stuff I love being a butthead about. Now, Danny, not having access to these funds, is it slowing you down or the crypto enough to get you going and, you know, you can start the next wave as it comes in if they ever release it? But, you know, are you for lacking anything, Danny?
No, we're doing all right now because I'm actually using my personal bank account to buy everything, and then Jeff's guys are reimbursing me for what I'm spending. So we're able. I mean, Jason has this giant Sprinter van, which is like a 3/4 ton cargo van. So we can get a full pallet of water, half a pallet of toilet paper, and then a bunch of food. So I'm spending, $3,000 at a time somewhere, something like that. And we're just going back and forth. You know, yesterday we had the kids from the orphanage actually help us package everything so that we could start a food line.
Okay, and, this is awesome. The orphanage, I want the people to know about the orphanage. The orphanage there has, how many people? How many kids? Like 80 or something like that?
They got like 60 kids over there. And, we've taken care of them over the past. So we haven't given them anything right now. We've got other people that are coming and helping with them, but they're giving back to us. So we've been giving to them for years, and now they're stepping up and helping us package and do the things to get the get the food out to the neighborhood there. But like I said, I was using my bank account. We're getting the crypto funds that are reimbursed to me. But if you remember, during Hurricane Harvey, it was not even a thing. The hurricane went as far in as Austin, and it damaged our tower. So we were broadcasting on Facebook Live because we didn't have a radio signal. And
I had a little bit of money left over from Dash, you know, and said, you know what, I'm going to take this money and instead of giving it to the local homeless, I'm going to give it to people down on the coast who are homeless because of a hurricane. And people were listening, and they just started donating money while I was on the air. By the time the show was over, I opened the wallet, and someone sent me 10 Bitcoins, and Bitcoin was $4,300 there. So that's $43,000 right off the bat. And then over that next week or whatever, I ended up with $60,000. I was down there for 6 weeks. But that, I converted that because I had my Coinbase credit card. I just put that in Coinbase right then, and I was spending within the hour. I was down in San Antonio within an hour. I left Austin, went to San Antonio, hit the first Walmart, and then I just hit every Walmart after that on the way down. The hurricane was still coming. People were leaving. People were escaping from the coast, and I was heading towards Corpus Christi onto the back side of the hurricane. So I came in behind the hurricane and then just followed it through Houston, you know, as it moved.
Well, compare that to Mexico now, what's going on now, the ease of crypto conversion, credit card, doing rock and roll and whatnot, and then now it's what? You're just having to dip into your personal funds to be able to have a stopgap, but, you know,
That gets me through until then. Right now, yesterday we started receiving more funds, so it's not a problem.
How large is the problem? Let's talk about the problem. You know, are you mostly in Boneville? Are you going to Acapulco too?
Main problem is we have to drive 5 hours to get stuff. So we're leaving, you know, in the morning. We get up at 8 o'clock. We drop our stuff off, and then we're driving back 5 hours. But we're not getting home until 10 p.m. at night, and then we got to start it all over again. So,
tell us of the other relief efforts. You know,
I think they're smaller. There are other people with smaller vehicles that are doing it as well. I think what would be ideal is to get a semi or, a paquete, a castor truck or something
or
that can bring us
ship.
A bigger load. So, yeah, I think they're looking at having somebody with a plane bring some stuff, and we're looking at bringing, our sound guy, Luigi, I think has a bigger truck, and he's going to start moving into action. But so I don't even have a Costco. I don't even have a Costco account, but this is what I can tell you about Sam's Club and Costco. Whenever there's a disaster, you don't need an account. You just go and tell them, hey, I'm doing this, and they will let you in. They'll even give you a discount. So,
very
you know,
cool.
You don't need memberships with those guys.
So
when,
how desperate
when a disaster
is it,
happens.
The people there? I want to get into Jardín Secreto, the location, because that was an open area. It's like a jungle with a bunch of huts and buildings in it. So if it gets a 300-mile-an-hour wind, the trees are going to do some damage. I guarantee you that. So this is
the trees are laid over. I went back there. I went back there to look at it, and the trees are all laid over. I can't get in, but I can see that long driveway you walk down. It's just trees are just laid over that. You can't get back there. I have seen some pictures of it from the inside. So some of the structures are still okay, and they're confident they will have it back up and ready for February. And what I think might happen, you know, if you're thinking about this, is now that the trees are gone, it may actually give them the opportunity to redesign this where it's actually a more friendly space to more people. So this might be, you know, it's a disaster, but
take advantage of it.
Reborn, you know, reborn is very literal right now.
Yeah, you guys got that Phoenix thing going on. No, Freedom Reborn, right on.
All of Boneville and the Secret Garden is going to be completely reborn.
So that's where you're spending most of your time.
Out of these negatives.
You're kind of focused. Well, you say
Acapulco and the bay there. Bonefield is kind of down the beach a little bit, which is where, you know, an Acapulco has spent a lot of its effort and so on there. So really, Bonefield is not the big resorts and the big hotels and the big, it's more of the local kind of economy, which I think is kind of cooler. I really like that vibe that's down there.
Right.
And the people know you guys and Jeff and Acapulco and Dollar Vigilante and all the stuff that you've done with the orphanage, and they expect. Did they expect the big white van and the big Acapulco anarchist A there giving out food to the people right freaking away?
I don't think they. I don't think they expected it, but they recognized us, and they all thanked us. They knew who we were. You know, I had several of them, anarchistas, because we have the big Acapulco logo on the side of Jason's van as we were handing out the food. So, yeah, I had several people, anarchistas.
The thing. Jeff, I want to ask Jeff something. Okay, Jeff, this is a awesome opportunity. I just interviewed a couple of people from Argentina, and they're young, you know, exchange students from around the world, Japan, Europe, whatever, and Argentina. It's called ProjectArizona.us up here. And what happened is, of course, I was interested in Javier Milei, which is running for president. They're going into the runoff in November, and it's going to be a thing in Argentina. Now you have him with anarchist flags calling the state everything but human. I mean, it's awesome. But now we got this anarchist rock star, literally, he's an economics professor or something, and plays in a band and got wild, crazy hair, whatever. Well, what happens is, now that they're seeing Acapulco and the anarchists coming, you know, beating the government by days, weeks, you know, and helping and so on, they're going to need a Javier Milei in Mexico. You know, this is, you can see it coming. The bad guys have no idea what they do when they do this kind of crap, or they just, you know, don't do their job. So this, I can see some legs to this. Is there going to be some investment in Bonefield? You know, the people, because like Max's bar there, people moving there, people having, you know, starting businesses, certainly spending time and money there, helping the locals. What do you see as a long-term effect of this?
You know, I really haven't thought too much ahead right now. We are still in a super crisis situation. There's numerous areas of Acapulco that we still haven't even been able to get into, and no one has. We're getting into more of those places today. A lot of that stuff's happening more on my side. We kind of have two sort of sides. We have the Acapulco people who are mostly helping in the Bonfield and Diamante area, but there's the poor areas which are much worse hit, and that's all my family are working on that, so we're actually based out of my house with that. And so that's really my main focus. We still have not even got into some areas. They haven't had food or water for nearly a week now in those areas. So that's my main focus. But I can certainly see that, as one example, I just did a video called What Doesn't Kill You Makes You Stronger. And the reason I called it that is because that's exactly what's happening. Most of the people survived this storm. I don't know how. This is a true miracle. No one knew it was coming. Imagine an entire city of over 500,000 people going to sleep and a tornado of 200 mile per hour winds hits every place in the city while they're all asleep. Maybe Danny can comment, but the official stats, which don't mean anything, but it's the only thing we have right now, is 27 people have been found dead. We personally, I haven't heard of anyone that we've sent out that have seen anyone who's died. So this is a true miracle, and I think we will see if we can help rebuild here. We will see, and Pat has already talked about this. It's pulled the Acapulco, not just even the staff and the crew and people like Danny and Kat and everyone, but a lot of the people who attend in Acapulco are all contributing to this. We've become incredibly tight-knit. If we can pull off getting through this crisis, getting to the recovery, and planned having an Acapulco in 2024 in the Secret Garden. And by the way, there's only one area of all of Acapulco that is completely untouched. Like, not even a twig looks broken. It's the area right where we have the event. Talk about complete blessing from above sort of a thing. I should also mention my house is the least damaged house that I've seen in Acapulco. Just a few of the windows got smashed. I don't know how, because most other houses are destroyed. And even Max Egan, he wasn't there, but he had his stuff there. He loves his guitars and his computers and his cat. All of them survived a Cat 5 right on the beach. So we are definitely blessed. And if we can do this event in February, it's going to be and this is our 10th anniversary too, and we named it Reborn before all of this happened. This is going to be the most incredible sort of coming together. Most of the town will have realized how much we've done for them.
Yep.
This is going to be, if we can pull this off, and we think at this moment in time, it's looking like we might be able to do it. We can't confirm yet, of course. We're still figuring out. But if we do, this could be just massive in terms of the entire town. They're already pretty anarchist already. That's actually one of the reasons I think Acapulco was targeted. We found out soon after they were planning to do a smart city, 15-minute city in Acapulco, which the people there would never have stood for. So they're trying to wipe out a lot of the poor people. But we're there trying to save them right now. Hopefully we can help them recover, and they won't come through with their plans. If we do, Acapulco, which is already a very anarchist place, and that's why I've lived there, that's why I'm always from there, and that's why an Acapulco is there, will become even far, far more. Because the government, of all the people who have helped so far, it's been us, it's been private organizations. I should put a shout out to the Red Cross in Mexico. My wife told me it's run by someone, a family that's very rich called the Palazuelos, I believe their name is. They actually basically created Tulum. They're very wealthy, but they have a lot of things in Acapulco. They're actually the owners of Zebu Restaurant, which many people might know. They were there fairly quickly, and they're helping out a lot from what I hear. Danny says he hasn't seen them as much lately, but I'm hearing that they're doing quite a bit. So that's another private organization, and you know, Red Cross in other countries, some of them are just complete scams and frauds, but here in Mexico, it appears quite good. So you have the anarchists, you have the private charities, you have the private companies, as Danny mentioned, CFE putting in the power very quickly already, which has been amazing. The private internet companies have been doing stuff. A lot of the funds have been raised using cryptocurrency. And the last thing, Danny mentioned the military. The military has started to help, especially with medical issues, so that's good. But as far as government support, I don't know if there has been any whatsoever so far. And at this point, I'm kind of like almost like okay with it, because we've almost, in the next few days, we have the situation fairly under control, and we can show that it was all done privately.
It's obvious the unthinkable is happening. With all the recent media distractions, most folks never saw it coming. But a few did. Their guts told them something very wrong was going on. And now the headlines are proving them right. The people in charge keep telling you that everything's fine and to stop noticing. But you know better. Folks are investing in emergency food storage. And you should too. My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, are the ones you can trust. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling three-month emergency food kits. Each contains tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one for each family member. My Patriot Supply also sells biomass stoves, off-grid room heaters for when the power goes out, gravity-powered water filters, heirloom seeds, and survival gear that may come in handy soon. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today. It's time to prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? There's a tremendous price war among the major term life companies. Rates have dropped dramatically in the past 2 years. For example, a man age 45 non-tobacco user, $1 million of coverage is only $75 per month, level for the next 10 years. Or a man age 50 non-tobacco user can buy $500,000 of coverage for a monthly premium of only $110, guaranteed not to change for the next 20 years. That's right, level rates for 20 years. And if you're a smoker, we have great rates for you as well. At the Term Lifeline, we specialize in policies of $500,000 and above. So if you're looking for new or replacement term life insurance, call right now for a free quote.
Rates and availability may vary by state. Sample rate quotes are based on preferred non-tobacco underwriting exam required to qualify.
800-430-1891. 800-430-1891. 800-430-1891. That's 800-430-1891.